it's now my pleasure to welcome Colin up. For those of you who might not know Colin, Colin leads the River Network, the network of Four River Churches, and he is here to introduce Andy for us this morning, our speaker, because this is a really important and key series that we're going to be beginning.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kerry. I love this church, or this group of churches. I love the fact we're sending people to Albania. I love the people. We had people in Ghana last year, and we've got people going out to Africa again this week. We're praying for my folks in Nepal, and thank you for the gifts and the offerings. We sent out £6,000 nearly this week. They're going to buy tents and food and distribute it to those that are really desperate. So I really want to say thank you for responding to the heartache of our friends over in Nepal. But also, I just want to briefly introduce what Andy's going to share. And, you know, as a group of churches, we really believe that God has called us to do three things every day. And you all know what they are. They are look on the face of Christ, love everyone we meet, and live like heaven is near. And if we do those things, if we all do those things, and we intentionally do those things every day, we believe we'll see a fire envelop this Thames Valley. We'll see heaven come. You know, and it begins with looking on the face of Christ. It begins in the presence of God. It begins in meetings like this as we worship and we gaze at the glory of God and we're transformed. We get transformed by the presence of Jesus in our quiet times, as we reflect on Scripture, as we read, as we pray together. All of those gatherings where we focus on the presence of God, like Deeper and Dwell and others, Living Room Worship and others, too many to mention in this church. It's a place of personal transformation, and we're churches of the presence of God. And then at the other end, we're living like heaven is near. We dare to think, actually, that we represent heaven. We dare to believe it's true what Jesus says of you and me. Actually, we represent heaven, and as representatives of heaven, we can reach out and grab bits of heaven because it's near, and we can grab hold of it for those that we live amongst. That's a place of transforming our societies, our communities, transforming our neighbours and our friends and our colleagues. It's fantastic to be involved in God's mission. We develop missionary churches. We're all missionaries, not just those we send overseas this week to Albania. We are all missionaries. Every one of you, we're sending out this morning from this place to go and mission in your homes and in your workplaces and in your colleges. Come on. And so we create missional churches as we do that. And it's transforming our communities. And in the middle there, we've got love everyone we meet. Because loving everyone we meet is about transforming one another. Love is what it's all about. I keep telling this, and I'll say it till the day I die. Because God is love, and that's what he's after in our lives. Love is the most powerful force of the universe. Everything ends with love. And without love, we're nothing. We get all our energy from looking on the face of Christ. And we get our energy to go and do mission in our communities, but actually without love, it's all meaningless. And a key part of love is loving one another. Not loving one another enough sometimes actually to not let us stay the same. Actually, we're already transformed. We want to help transform each other. So discipleship is a really key part of, and culture we're trying to develop in the river churches. That's why we have so many courses that are running all the time. But one thing we thought, actually, we really need something to help us wrestle with the things going on in our hearts, because the heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. And it's hard to get discipleship in that. And we don't like often dealing with it. We feel vulnerable when we expose our hearts. But the Heart Life stuff is a really great program developed by our friends Stephen and Mara Klemick. Really anointed set of tools and ideas and language even to help us wrestle with the things of the heart. So I'm really excited about what Andy's going to share this morning and what we're going to be going into as churches over the next few weeks and months, because actually it's transformed people that transform communities. So let's welcome him. He's a great communicator. And Andy, I just want to say publicly what I said in the prayer meeting, which I just believe that God spoke to me for you. In Jeremiah, it says, if you can draw out the precious from the worthless, if you can draw it out, if you can call it out, then you'll be my spokesman. And I really felt the Holy Spirit say, you're his spokesman, Andy, because actually it's what you do. You call out the precious from the worthless. And I just want to pray that you do that in our hearts today, that you call out the precious things in each heart in this room, because you're God's spokesman. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Colin. Good morning, everyone. You'll be blessed to know that I've taken my watch off to time how long I'm going to be speaking for. I was tempted to use the clock up there, which for those of you who can't see from the back actually is an hour slow. But I'm resisting that temptation. You'll be very pleased to know. It is great to be here. And as I often say, you would expect me to say that, wouldn't you? I'm not likely to stand up and say, oh, I'm really fed up to be here this morning. But it really is extremely good to be here. Those of you that know me and know some of the stuff I'm involved in, I'm just really worried about this water, the way this place is rocking. Anyway, I do get to travel around a fair amount in a few hours' time, along with the wonderful Ian Linton, wherever you are, and my lovely wife, Lina. We'll be getting on a plane to go to Zambia. Where we'll be doing some stuff this week, and then Ian and I will be then going on to Kenya. I get to go to a number of places around the world. I get to speak at a number of churches around the UK, but in the words of, who is the person in The Wizard of Oz? Who's the girl? In the words of Dorothy, there's no place like home. And it is actually true. It is actually true. I look around this room and look at so many faces that I know, so many friends, and actually, sorry, friends, but even more encouraging, so many people I don't know, because that means this place is healthy. It is great to be home. Paul, I just wanted to say, by the way, worship, fantastic. All of you. Paul, I just wanted to say, you are a minstrel for the Lord, and I know you know that, but you really are, and I just want to acknowledge that and honour that and say I just see a new wave of that on you. And your musical skill is outstanding, and God's using that even more and more. Don't shy away from that, I guess I'd say. But I just see a new wave of anointing on you, and I think that was evident this morning. So I just want to honour that. Bless what God is already doing. Amen. And by the way, isn't Kerry great at leading meetings? She is amazing. No, she is. She is. Fantastic growth. We're talking this morning about growth. We're talking this morning about development. We're talking this morning about discipleship. And again, I want to honour that work that's been going on in you, Kerry, and your openness to that. So, let's get into this. We're going to be looking at the journey of the heart today. And as it says in really tiny writing, which doesn't look like that on my original, that is to do with the path of discipleship. Now, what's been mentioned already several times is Heart Life, the Tool, developed by some really good friends of ours, Stephen and Mara Klemick, Australian, but currently now living in London for at least the next year. And they have been working with us actually since 2007 in this place, using that tool and things associated with it. However, whilst we will talk about the tool a little bit, and the approach towards the end of this morning, and many of you will be exploring it in more detail in your, now I've got to get this right, churches across the next few months, I kind of wanted this morning to put it into a wider context. Because it's not about a tool. It's not about a technique. It's about pursuing, as it says in really tiny writing, a life of discipleship following Jesus. And all of us in this place are on a journey of following Jesus. You wouldn't be here if you weren't in some way on that journey. Now, some of us have been on that journey for many, many years. Some of you, people I don't know, maybe you're right at the beginning of that journey. Maybe someone brought you along this morning and you're not even quite sure whether you're on that journey. But believe me, if you're here, you're on that journey. You're on that journey of following Jesus. And that's what discipleship is about. But what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And is there any way of measuring how we're doing on the journey that we're all on? Because it's not like we get a long service medal for attendance. You know, every Sunday, it'd be, you know, convenient if every Sunday we had a card and we clocked in and clocked out and someone added up, and at the end of so many attendances you got it. It's not like that. It's important to gather together. It's important that we turn up for all sorts of reasons that would be an entirely other different talk. But it's not about that. So is there any way of measuring this journey? It's a bit like this. We know where we've come from. We've got some idea on this journey where we've come from. And sometimes, if we've been on the journey for a long time, it's easy for that to pale into the distance. And maybe that's a good thing, but sometimes it is good to be reminded about where we've come from, even though that might not be a very pretty picture. We've got some idea where we're going, ultimately at least. You know, we read scripture, we read the Bible, we read the back bit. Maybe we read other bits that are scattered throughout that give us some idea of where we're going. We've got some idea of our ultimate destination. And in between the two, we're trying to hear the best we can the voice of the Spirit of God giving us guidance on the journey. And I'm not going to pursue the analogy of a divine sat-nav too far, don't worry. But it is a little bit like that. The Spirit of God speaking to us on the journey. About turn left here, turn right here. But where are we? We're sometimes in the position of the small children in the back of the car who inevitably always say,
"Are we there?"
And we don't know. And unless we've got markers on the journey and some understanding of progress, of development, how do we know where we are on the journey? And I do want to suggest that the path has got to be a pathway of development. Question is, development in what way? And where does that fit with some other stuff? Where does that fit in with the completed work of Jesus in our lives? You know, hang on, Andy. What's all this stuff about development? I thought that we are now a new creation in Jesus. So what's all this stuff about development? What's all this stuff about growing? You know, I thought we had everything already. If we're a new creation already, do we need to develop? Well, we're going to look at some scripture this morning, you'll be pleased to know. And if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Peter, 2nd book of Peter, and chapter 1. And if you haven't got a Bible, turn to your iPad or iPhone and at least look like you're interested. 2 Peter 1, and we're going to pick it up at verse 3. Although actually, before that point, Peter's said some quite interesting things back in, I think, verse 2, where he kind of puts himself on a... He first of all says what his credentials are. He says that he's an apostle and all of that stuff to do with his heritage in following Jesus. And then, actually, he puts himself on a level playing field with the people he's speaking to. But we won't go into that now. We'll pick it up in verse 3. His divine power has granted, not will grant, has granted to us, not just everyone else, his divine power has granted to us a few of the things that we might need relating to life and... No. All things relating or pertaining to life and godliness. Let's just pause there for a moment. He has given us all things for life and godliness. You're allowed to get a little bit more excited than you did over £6,000, which I actually got a lot more excited than most of you about. So, thank you. He has... Sorry, I'm used to speaking in Africa and America, and forgive me. His divine power has granted to us all things relating to life and to godliness. How? Thank you. Through the knowledge, and that isn't just head knowledge, that's experience knowledge, of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So that through them, you may become, hold on to your hats, partakers of the divine nature. Thank you, five of you. having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Woo! It's not a bad introduction, is it? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to pray over those words. Father, I want to pray that in these next few minutes you would impact my heart and everyone's heart afresh with the power of your word, Lord. That it becomes not just head knowledge but heart experience for us this morning. That we would know you better. In Jesus' name. Amen. His divine power has granted to us all things relating to life and godliness. Just meditate on that for a moment. Consider that. Consider the truth of that, because this isn't me saying that, this is God's word. This is what Jesus has done for us. It says that we are called to his own glory and greatness. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look glorious today." And say it like you mean it. We have been given precious and very great promises. What has God promised you specifically? Are the things you're still waiting for? Well, he has given them to you. If it's a promise from him, he doesn't lie. Is there stuff in scripture that you know is promised to you that you're still waiting for? God does not lie. If he's given us a promise, he will be faithful. More than that, we are made to be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. Turn to the person the other side of you and say, "You look divine today." It's true. And if you've got an empty seat next to you, make sure someone else has said it to you. We are made to be partakers of the divine nature. It is true. This is who we are in Christ. This is the nature of our being. What we're talking about this morning is not making us something other than that. Because this is the truth. So that's it, we've got everything. Okay, fine, let's move on to the next songs of worship. Well, if I was designing one of those nice little desk calendars where you tear off a promise a day, that's probably where I would stop, because normally they do. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on. For this very reason. Now, please note, it does not say however or but. It does not say, however, although those things are true, but there's some other stuff as well. No, it says, because these things are true, for this very reason. I love the book of Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books. That's a bit like saying I'm one of God's favorites. You know, with lots of favorites. God's got lots of favorites. I've got lots of favorite parts of the Bible. But Ephesians really is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. And it has a very interesting structure, which some of you will have heard me talk about before. But The way it's broken down for us in the chapters that we have, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians tell us everything that God has planned for us, has destined for us, has imagined for us, and has made to come about. It talks about how he saw from before the foundation of the world that he wanted a family and he wanted to adopt it into this family and that that would happen in Christ. He talks about the fact that one new man has been made out of the two of Jew and Gentile and that we are seated at the right hand of God just as Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. So too we have been lifted from death and raised up with him to sit in heavenly places. It talks about the love and the affection that he has for us and everything that only he could do. And then at the beginning of chapter 4 it says therefore. And as many of you will know, particularly those who've been in River Church since time immemorial, when you see a therefore, you ask, what do you ask, Paul? You ask what it's there for. We ask what it's there for. And what it's there for is because of everything that's happened in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it's exactly the same with this passage in Peter. Peter tells us everything that we have made to be in Christ. And then he says, because of all that, for this very reason, because of who we are called to make every effort to add. I'm going to say it again. We are called to make every effort to add. Hands up if you have seen The Avengers Age of Ultron. And I bet you weren't expecting that to be the next line. Hands up if you have seen Avengers Age of Ultron. Oh, enough of you to make this a worthwhile illustration. For those who haven't and are planning to, spoiler alert. And for those that have no intention of watching at all, just live with me through this, will you please? There is a scene towards the end of the movie where two characters are talking together in a room that's pretty much wrecked in a house. And they're kind of hiding from the bad guys at this particular moment in time. The two characters are called Hawkeye and Wanda. Hawkeye and Wanda are talking together. And Wanda is scared stiff of what's going on outside. And Hawkeye talks to her about what her options are at this point in time. And he basically says, you know what? You could stay hiding in this house. And you might be okay. Or you could step outside the door. But if you step outside the door, be aware that you're there to make a difference. If you step outside the door, he says, you step outside as an Avenger. You step outside to make a difference. Go outside and you're there to make a difference. And that is true for each one of us. We can just rest on the first part of that passage. We can rest on verses 3 to whatever it is that talk to us about who we are in Christ. And you know what? We can stay in the house. I'm not talking about your salvation here. You could stay there. Or you could go and make a difference. The for this very reason is about stepping outside the house and being prepared to make a difference. As I was thinking about this, this is the statement that occurred to me. All of this stuff has got nothing to do with the person that you are in Christ. But it's got everything to do with the person you are called to be. Let me say that again. This journey of the heart, it's really got nothing to do with the person that you are in Christ. That's firm, established, done. But it has got everything to do with the people we are called to be in Christ to make a difference. As Colin said earlier on, transformed people transform the situations that they're in. Our journey of discipleship is a journey within grace, acceptance, and identity in God. It's not a journey pursuing those things. It's on the foundation of our identity that we are called to make every effort. It's a bit like training for a race. You know, there is effort involved, and then there's a reward. But it's not just, as I thought about this more, it's not just training for any race. And I'm sorry he's not here this morning to see this picture, but Annie is. That is the very wonderful James Clary from the Maidenhead Church. Two Sundays ago, when he had completed the London Marathon. He'd completed the London Marathon. I'm sure there was a sense of personal satisfaction and destiny in that. But he was raising money, and he did raise an amazingly substantial amount of money for Links International, the charity that I am privileged to lead, in order to make a difference to others. And I just would like to take the advantage of this platform to say a big thank you to James, and also to Annie, for whom there was also a lot of effort involved in him being released to put in the time to do the training. So thank you. And I'd just like to thank him, actually. James knows all about making every effort in order to achieve something for others, in order to make a difference. Making a difference costs. Making a difference costs. Making a difference does require effort. But the aim is fruitfulness. What does it say at the end? If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone here ever get frustrated with a lack of fruitfulness in your life or a lack of effectiveness in your life? My hand is not just up to illustrate the point, it's up because it's true of me. I know who I am in Jesus. That's not in question, but I get so frustrated with me. I get so frustrated with my ineffectiveness, with my lack of fruitfulness. Everyone thinks of changing the world. No one thinks of changing themselves. It's not scripture, it's Leo Tolstoy, but it's actually worth reflecting on. And we need to think about changing ourselves. Back to our signpost. We know where we've come from, we know where we're going, but what's the mileage counter? What's our progress? I want to be more loving. Well, that's a given, but how do I measure that? Can I measure that? It's helpful to know how we're progressing, and that is where Heart Life, the tool and the approach, can be helpful. And I say that not just because I'm involved in Heart Life, which I am, but because it's my story. Stephen and Mara first came to River Church and to the leadership team as it was then, at the time I was a part of, and they came in January 2007, and that was the start of, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time at that point, but that marked the start of a new journey for me in development and discipleship, and a journey of the heart. This is the indicator which some of you will get familiar with over the next few months. As a tool, it's a life indicator. It doesn't tell you what type of person you are. And in the context of what we're talking about this morning and everything I've said already, the first few verses of that part of 2 Peter tell us what type of person we are. We're partakers of the divine nature. But it is about helping us to recognize and measure behavior we're using.
Stuff, you know, the tool has been developed over a great many years. It's been academically standardized, thoroughly and rigorously examined.
It's being used in churches, and it is also being used in the commercial world, which again I have the privilege to be involved in both of those areas at the moment. I'm not going to go into lots of detail right now, but at its simplest, it really boils down to this. You know, we can behave in one of two ways. We can behave below the line with behavior that's ineffective, dysfunctional, the behavior of the world, or we can behave above the line in effective, constructive ways, reflecting the values of the kingdom of God. There can be a focus on ourselves, which is both negative or not good, above or below the line, or positive or negative. And there can be a focus on others, actually, which can be positive or negative, above or below the line. And taking those parameters, above, below the line, looking at ourselves, looking at others, you end up with those four quadrants you see there in the different colours. So we can be focusing on personal growth in an attitude of humility. We can be focusing on helping others to grow with an attitude and a spirit of love. We can be promoting ourselves with a spirit and an attitude of pride, or we can be just so fearful, just trying to protect ourselves. And in every area of life, in every situation, we have that choice. Where are we going to stand? How are we going to live? Where are we going to live? Are we going to live in humility and love? Or are we going to live in pride or fear? And the reality is, all of us, it's normal, all of us hop around between those quadrants. But here's the question: where are you spending most of your time right now? Are you spending most of your time in humility and love, or are you actually spending most of your time in pride and fear? Or if it's just that you're spending some of your time in pride, why is that? What's the Holy Spirit telling you, even now, actually, before we get into anything else, about why that is and how he wants to help you in moving on from there? How are we representing the family name? I've spent the week with Texan friends, so forgive me if I say represent church. So here's the challenge. We could stay in the house, or we could go out and make a difference. If we're going to make a difference, it has to start not just with our eyes on changing the world, but with an openness to inner change in ourselves. Let's just look again at that list. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. These are inner things. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. You know, we could map them onto that grid of humility and love. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. Are we prepared to do that? Sometimes you can stay in the house. You really can. But will we be brave enough? Will we have courage?
Encourage one another as well. And by the way,
that word means put courage into each other. It's so good
doing this together. It's not just us by ourselves. We can put
courage into each other
as we encourage one another.
And if we
do that, then we can see real transformation in our own
lives. But the aim is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness not just for our own life, but in the world around us. So here's three questions. And I wonder if the band could come back. And I'm going to hand back to Kerry in just a moment, but I'd like us to pray together. And I wonder if we could stand together. And for some of you, I'm asking us to stand because for some of us, it's actually helpful to physically move, to position ourselves. Right now, where are you on the journey? Where are you on the journey? Where do you want to live? What's your heart's desire? Where are you standing right now? If there was a quadrant, four quadrants ahead of you, where would you stand? Would you be standing in pride, fear, humility and love? What is the overwhelming sense of where you are right now? You might want to just shift yourself a little bit. It doesn't have to make it obvious. The person next to you doesn't even need to really see where you're moving to. But you're standing in humility, love, pride or fear. And where do you want to be? And are you going to stay in the house and nothing to do with your identity in Christ is in question? Or are you going to step outside in a new way? Father, I just want to pray for each one of us here this morning that you would even now speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for us in Christ. Thank you that we are called to such greatness. Thank you for your very great promises over our lives. Thank you for the grace and the favor that is within us, that is on us. Thank you for the foundation of your love. Thank you that we have been raised up from death and seated at the right hand of God with Jesus. And thank you that we have the opportunity to represent you in this world and to bring transformation to others. Lord, would you give us wisdom and courage and just everything we need, Lord, to step outside of that house. And it's not a once and for all decision, Lord. It's in the different areas of our life where we feel the challenge right now of your Spirit calling us to higher things. And it's to do with the decisions that we'll need to make tomorrow morning and the day after that. Lord, give us courage to step outside of the house and to do what only we can do so you can do what only you can do in our lives. And all God's people said...